Hello, my name is Daniel Morris, and I'm pastor of Cultivate Church Nashville. I want to invite you to join us each Sunday on the Roots campus in Cool Springs for Bible study at 9 a.m. for adults, students, and children, and worship beginning at 10:30 a.m. Our vision is to see people saved, set free from the bondage of sin, and growing every day in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why at Cultivate, we're committed to bringing the love and transforming power of Christ to all people through evangelism and missions both here in the Nashville region and around the world. We're a church on the move, and I invite you to join us on our journey.
All right, you ready to study the word then? Okay, very good. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel 3. Old Testament, right there in the middle of the, toward the back end there behind Psalms, to the east of Psalms, you'll get there. We're continuing our series called The Kingdom Life, and this has been such a strong series so far. And we've learned that God doesn't need our strength. He fills us with His Spirit to do what He calls us to do, to stand firm in a world that's drifting. We've also seen that before we ever speak the truth in a rebellious culture, we have to devour and feast on God's word and let the word shape us from the inside out before we'll ever have a voice for others. Our work and effectiveness as kingdom citizens is not the hype or headlines that we create. It's not the clever posts that we might post or how many people that we can attract by our services or our programs. It's about being Spirit-filled people, rooted in conviction, shaped by obedience, and ready to carry the truth with love and courage to a world that needs to hear it. And that's what this book challenges us on, and it will challenge us today. Last week, we were in the first part of this chapter, chapter 3. Today, we're in the back part of this chapter. And I want to set this part up by asking you a question. Have you ever had to tell someone something hard knowing that they wouldn't hear it? And that's not a position that most of us look forward to being in. We don't really get in that line of saying, I want to say a hard thing to this person and them not listen. But there are moments when you know in your knower that if I stay silent, I'm not protecting peace in this moment, I'm going to be avoiding obedience. And that's exactly where Ezekiel is today in our text. The title of this message is, Don't Flinch, Courage Over Criticism. Don't flinch. Have courage over the criticism. That'll all make sense when we put it together. Let's stand in the honor of reading God's word. But before we do, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in what He wants to say to us today. God, You're gracious to us. Thank You. Thank You for being with us. And God, I pray that You would just do a work that we cannot do. And Lord, would You teach us the truth of Your word today? Holy Spirit, have Your way in me. Move how You want to. And Lord, I want to deliver the message that You have for Your people today. And most of all, I want to please Your heart. So Lord, speak to all of us, convict us by Your word, and we'll be careful to praise You, God, as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, remain standing. Here we go. Chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 16, go all the way through 27. After 7 days, the Lord gave me a message. This is Ezekiel saying. He said, Son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Now that's important, and if you want to write that down or underline it, a watchman for Israel. Wherever you receive a message from me, warn people eventually. What does it say? Immediately. If I warned the wicked, saying you were under the penalty of death, listen to this carefully, but you fail to deliver the warning, they will die in their sins, and I will hold you responsible for their deaths. If you warn them and they refuse to repent and keep on sinning, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself because you have obeyed me. Everybody following that so far? If righteous people turn away from their righteous behavior and ignore the obstacles I put in their way, they will die. And if you do not warn them, they will die in their sins. None of their righteous acts will be remembered, and I will hold you responsible for their deaths. That's a strong word. But if you warn righteous people not to sin, and they listen to you and do not sin, they will live, and you will have saved yourself too. Then the Lord took hold of me and said, "Get up and go out into the valley, and I will speak to you there." So I got up and went, and there I saw the glory of the Lord just as I had seen in my first vision at the Kabar River, and I fell face down on the ground. That was chapter 1. He was down on the ground in awe of the presence of God. So here he is back in the awe of the presence of God. And I'm telling you, there's got to be an awe of the presence of God in your life. Mark it. Verse 24. Then the Spirit came into me and set me on my feet. And I love that sentence. And he uses that very often. The Holy Spirit set me on my feet, and he spoke to me and said, Go to your house and shut yourself in the house. There, son of man, you will be tied with ropes so you cannot go out among the people. This is interesting because it seems like it's a contradiction. And I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be speechless and unable to rebuke them, for they are rebels. So here he is. He's calling him. He says, I'm sending you. You go. I tell you what to say. You speak immediately. If you don't, and I tell you what to do, your blood's going to be on their hands. Then the Holy Spirit tells him, go into the house and sit there, and I'm going to bind you up, and you're not going to be able to go, and I'm going to put the stick your mouth closed. I'm going to close it so you won't be able to speak. All right, so it seems like God's given him a call, given him a post now, and there's some contradiction going on. It feels like, what are you doing? And he says, but when I give you a message, I will loosen your tongue and let you speak. Then you will say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Those who choose to listen will listen, but those who refuse will refuse, for they are rebels. It's not a contradiction at all. Instead, God is saying, yes, I'm giving you this assignment, but you're going to keep your mouth shut and you're going to stay put until I tell you to open, and I will open your mouth, and I will send you forward. Okay, that's where we're going today. God bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. It's good. You can tell already, can't you? Earlier, God did a pivot on Ezekiel that Ezekiel didn't ask for. He was going about his business being a priest. He probably enjoyed it. He probably kept to himself. He's probably a nice one. Everybody probably liked Ezekiel. Well, Ezekiel, we like you. He was a priest, and God then said, didn't ask his opinion. He said, God, now you're going to, Ezekiel, now you're going to be a prophet. So he's still in the ministry, just in a different role now. Ezekiel 3:16 says, God shows up again, and he says, son of man, now I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel, in verse 17. This wasn't a new title. God didn't change his mind from prophet. He just gave him a burden. You're a prophet now with a burden. So I want you to understand this. Within his calling as a prophet, God gives him a little bit more specifics about his prophetic assignment. You're going to be a watchman prophet. Not just a prophet, a watchman prophet. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. God doesn't say to Ezekiel, he does not tell him, you've earned a platform. He says, I've placed you on a wall. I've given you a specific assignment, Ezekiel, and your assignment is not pretty. I want you to listen. I want you to hear me. You are a believer, but you're not just a believer. You're a believer with an assignment. And you're not just a believer with an assignment. But here's point number one. God has also given you a post. God has given you a post. Now, verse 16, 17, Son of Man, I've made you watchmen for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. So he's kind of telling them, hey, this is kind of what you're going to be doing on this post. After 7 days of silence, God interrupts Ezekiel and he says, you're a watchman now. That's going to be specific for you. It's not a promotion. There was an applause in that. This was an assignment, and the assignment came with a lot of heavy weight. Now, this word watchman, by the way, it means to look out from a high place, look out with purpose, and to lean forward and wait for what's coming. That's what that word literally means in the Hebrew. So, look out from a high place, look out with purpose, and lean into, lean forward and wait for what's coming. Now, I want you to picture this. A watchman stood high on the wall, not because he was better than the people inside, but because he was responsible for what was coming toward them. You understand that post now. So this role, if you boil it down, it carried two key responsibilities. Number one, it was perception, to see what others couldn't see. Number two, it was proclamation, to sound the alarm when danger was approaching. To see what others couldn't see, to sound the alarm when danger approached. If the watchman saw something but said nothing, the people would die. And the blood would be on his hands. So it was a weighty assignment. It was not an elevation of promotion necessarily. It wasn't just about information. It was about intercession and obedience, this position. Imagine that you're a dad. If you're not a dad, imagine you are. You're out in the backyard grilling, and your kids are playing near the street. You notice a car, because you're up higher, you notice a car flying down the road in your neighborhood, and about that one time, a kid kicks the ball toward the road, and they start running toward the road. So you got a fast car coming, a kid running in that direction. What do you do? You don't just stop and think about yelling. You don't go journal about it. I think I might need to get their attention. You don't look up the Greek word for stop. You shout, move. You act, stop. Don't do that. Stop where you are. Why? Because you're the parent and you've been posted at that spot grilling your burgers at that time for that child. That's what a watchman does. A watchman doesn't have the luxury of passivity. If you see it and God placed you there, you say something. And here's what I need you to hear me say today. You have been posted. You and I have been posted. God has given all of us a post. He saved us, he's given us an assignment, and he's given us a post. See, you're not just a believer, you're a kingdom watchman in the place that God has planted you. He's placed you on the wall of your kids' lives. He's placed you on a wall maybe of your coworkers' life. He's placed you on the wall of a ministry. He's placed you on the wall of your church. He's placed you on the wall maybe of your city. You may feel unqualified for the post. You may feel invisible while you're doing the post. But God didn't ask you to be flashy on the post. He asked you to be faithful in the post. Now, it's not about paranoia and doom. It's about alertness and discipleship is what it's about. God's calling kingdom people to stop spectating from the sidelines and take their place on the wall. We've got enough on the sidelines. We don't need anybody else on the sidelines. And there are some of us, you've been sensing a burden lately. It's not fear, it's not anxiety, but you have this holy weight. You're like, oh, I've got this weight. You've been seeing things that other people maybe aren't seeing. You've been feeling stirred. You've been feeling convicted about something. You've been feeling provoked, but you haven't known why. That's because God has posted you. You're feeling this tension of carrying something others are ignoring. You're asking, why do I feel this so strongly? Why am I so convicted about this? Why do I care when no one else does? Here's why. You're not just in the family, you're on the wall of that family. You're not just at that job, you're on the wall of that workplace. You're not just attending this church, you're on the wall for this generation. This is your watchman moment. God might be saying to you, stop doubting the post that I've placed you, that I've given you. Stop dismissing your discernment. Stop walking off the wall because nobody's clapped and cheered for you. Get back in your position. Get back. Now, when I started this series, what I've wanted to do is I've wanted to give you some practical how-tos, right? So here is your how-tos assignments this week, maybe. So I want you to, as you're going and you're thinking through and the Lord's dealing with you, I want you to name your post. Write it down. Who's your assignment right now? That's the question. Who's your assignment right now? Is it a child? Is it a spouse? Is it a team? A generation? A neighborhood? What is it? Name your post. All right, now the other thing that I want you to do this week is pray from the wall. Pray from the wall. All right, now, here's what I mean by that. Don't just react to the culture. Intercede for the culture. Don't just react to your family. Intercede for your family. You get what I'm saying? Okay. Now you're doing something from the wall. And then the other thing is speak only what he gives you. Speak what he gives you. Don't be an echo of someone else. Be his voice. Now, you can't be a watchman for everyone. You're not called to. No one's called to be a watchman for everybody. But you are called to someone. You are called to be a watchman for somebody. Here's number two. Out of this passage, warning is an act of love. Warning is an act of love. This is where it gets weighty. Now, God says this in verse 18, if I warn the wicked saying you're under the penalty of death, but you fail to deliver the warning, they will die in their sins. Okay, they're going to die. And then he says this, I will hold you responsible for their deaths. Let's just go ahead and say it. We don't like warning people, really. Do you? Some of us can barely take care of ourselves, much less put ourselves in a position with the responsibility of warning someone else. It feels uncomfortable. It feels like there's a weight on us for someone else that may or may not listen. It can be confrontational. By the way, in our culture, confrontation is seen as negative. The word confrontation is not negative at all. To confront someone is to love someone. Now, when we confront someone in our flesh, it can turn negative. When you confront someone in love, then it can be a win-win positive. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Some of you need to love enough to confront. Some of you need to love enough to confront something in your life. But it feels like it's going to cost us something, and often it does. It does. It costs you something. Following Christ costs you something. But here's what God shows Ezekiel. He's showing him that warning someone isn't judgment, it's love. It's love. This isn't Ezekiel standing on a soapbox yelling at the wicked. That's not what this is. That's not what it is for you. This is a brokenhearted prophet standing in the gap saying, please hear this. Please turn back. Please listen to what the Lord has to say. Please. God says, if you don't warn them, they'll still be judged for their sin and you'll be held responsible for your silence. That phrase, his blood I require at your hand, that's intense. That's an intense phrase. Theologians call that blood guiltness. Blood guiltness. Silence doesn't always mean peace. We want to go towards silence sometimes to just keep the peace. I'll just turn away from that. I don't want to stir things up. I don't want to stir the pot here. Silence doesn't always mean peace. Sometimes silence means complacency. You're kicking the can down the road. And that sounds heavy. This is heavy, but hear me. It's God's mercy. It's God's mercy because God doesn't want people to walk blindly into judgment. So he places watchmen on the wall in their path. I'm telling you, God sent a watchman for you. God put a watchman on the wall for you. Hallelujah is right. God put a watchman on the wall for me. And God is placing you on a wall as a watchman for somebody. He sends you. Just say you're driving late at night through the hills. It's foggy. You're unfamiliar with the area. You round a corner and your headlight catches a sign that says bridge out ahead. You slam on brakes. You stop just in time. You get out of your car. You grab your flashlight. You start waving down all the other cars that you see, yelling, flashing your lights, stop, you're screaming, stop, turn around, the bridge is out. Now imagine if someone pulls up to you, they roll down their window, and they say, you just need to calm down, you're being dramatic. Now let me ask you a question. The bridge is out, you got some criticism. Do you stop warning people that the bridge is out? No. You keep waving them down because it's not about you. It's about the danger that they don't see yet. That's what kingdom warning looks like. It's not condemnation, but it's compassion so strong that you're willing to be misunderstood. What's wild in this passage is that God tells Ezekiel to warn two kinds of people. The wicked, who are far from God, and then who else does, what other group of people does he tell them to warn? He asks, tells them to warn the righteous, who are drifting from God. And this is where it gets real for us, because sometimes we assume that people are okay. They were once on fire, they were once steady, they're here, they show up every once in a while, they're okay. If you're here today, you're okay. No, they used to be strong, they're all right. But maybe their devotion is slipping or fading, their hearts are cooling, and no one's saying anything. And God says, if the righteous man turns and you say nothing, his blood I will require of you. Now I want you to think about that, because that brings it in-house immediately. See, that holds us accountable to each other, doesn't it? In other words, you could say it like this. Accountability is kingdom love. It's kingdom love. Now, before we all run out with flashlights and bullhorns, I want to pause for a second. Because this is where a lot of well-meaning believers veer off track with this situation. Not every strong opinion is a word from the Lord. Did you know that? Not every strong opinion is a word from the Lord. Not every moment of confrontation means that you've been posted on a wall for that person. Some people confuse calling with control. There's a big difference between spirit-led boldness and flesh-fueled correction. Not every word is a holy one. Not every word that you have to say. And just because you say, I've got a word from the Lord, doesn't mean that it's really a word from the Lord. You can say something right. You can speak the truth. That you may have a fact that you speak. But if it is done in the wrong way and in the wrong spirit, it will not carry the power of God. Do you know that to be true? We don't get to warn people out of a place of frustration. We warn them from the Word and by the Spirit of God. That's the criteria. So the question is, how do we know the difference, right? How do we know? How do we know if this is from the Lord or if it's from my flesh? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. If you are speaking truth to someone out of being offended by them, it's possible that that might be a flesh response. Right? They offended me. Well, let me just tell them. Let me set them straight. Okay. That's most likely a flesh response. If you're speaking truth out of a spirit-led burden for someone, mark this down. It will bring you peace no matter how the person responds because you obeyed the Lord. Fair? Now let's break this down. The flesh, when it's the flesh, it reacts out of frustration. The Spirit of God waits with a burden. They sit with it. They pray about it. The flesh aims to win an argument. The Spirit aims to restore a person. See the difference? The flesh speaks quickly. Scripture says, quick to listen, slow to speak. The flesh is quick to speak. When you run to the line with a correction, whoa, a minute. The Spirit speaks prayerfully. Will speak through you prayerfully. The flesh seeks control. If you just do what I tell you to do, you'll be all right. The Spirit surrenders the outcomes. Whatever that person chooses to do, it's not on me, it's on them, but I've done my part. The flesh, listen to me, the flesh wants to be right and will do whatever they have to do to prove that they're right. Someone that has a word from the Spirit, all they want to do is be faithful. There will be a completely different spirit coming at you. One from the flesh versus one from the Spirit of God. And it will be noticeable. If the Spirit hasn't broken your heart before you speak, I'm going to dare say you're not ready to speak yet. Ezekiel wasn't a hard critic. He was a broken intercessor. He sat in silence for 7 days before ever opening his mouth. Real kingdom words don't flow from your ego. They flow from an encounter. And I'm telling you, let God wreck you privately before you try to correct someone publicly. Now, Here's the practical how-to to warn someone in love. Isn't this good? It's hard, but it's good, isn't it? How do you warn someone in love? Pray before you speak. Don't vent. Don't react. Go to God first. Speak from a burden, not ego. If you can't say what you need to say with tears in your heart, you're not ready to say it with truth in your mouth. And how else do you warn someone in love? Be clear, not cruel. Clarity is kindness. The truth doesn't need volume. It needs vision and love. The truth, listen, the truth will always come with vision attached. Did you know that? It'll always come with some vision, God vision attached to it. See, because you don't tell a hopeless truth. Truth always comes with hope. And hope comes from knowing that there's something better. There's something greater. There's something more. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Truth comes with vision attached. So when you deliver a word of truth and it doesn't have vision and hope attached to it, it's not from the Lord. If you walk away and you leave someone in despair with no hope from what you've said, that is not a word from the Lord. Because as corrective as our God can be, He always gives us a word with vision toward repentance and hope and freedom and forgiveness. That's the way the Spirit of God will always work and speak. Even the prophets with the most horrible message to deliver, it was turn from your sin. And if you turn, when you turn, vision, God will restore. God will be with you. God will do a work. That's the word from the Lord. Do you see the difference? Oh, that's so important to know. That's so important to discern. Now, here's a filter. If the goal is to restore, not to just rebuke, you're probably hearing from the Lord. You want to restore. If the goal is to rescue and not retaliate, you're probably on the right wall. So if you've been sitting on a warning because you're afraid of how it will be received, but the word of the Lord to Ezekiel is this, whether they listen or not, you speak what I've given you. But when you speak out of a burden, speak out of a heart, speak out of prayer, speak the truth with vision attached. Here's number three. Don't let criticism paralyze you. Don't let it paralyze you. Don't let it paralyze you. You're going to get criticized. If you follow the Lord, if you say the truth in love, you're going to get criticized. God was very clear with Ezekiel, I'm going to send you to do a hard thing. Yeah, they're not going to listen. But you're going to go anyway. The Spirit of God came to me and set me on my feet, verse 24, and He spoke to me and said, God, to your house, go to your house and shut yourself in. There, son of man, you will be tied with ropes, can't go out among the people, and I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so you will be speechless and unable to rebuke them, for they are rebels. But when I give you a message, I'll loosen your tongue and let you speak. Then you'll say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It's not what I say, this is what the Lord says. Those who choose to listen will listen. But those who refuse will refuse, for they are rebels. Now, Ezekiel's commission isn't finished yet. He's already been called to stand up, speak up, and warn in love. But now God tells him, you're going to be bound. You're going to be silenced. You won't be received. You're not going to be popular. They're not going to be lining up. They're not going to be knocking the doors of your church down to get in. But when I speak, son, then you speak. When I move, you move. And until I'm going to put you there, I'm going to put you in that city. I've given you your assignment. You're going to go. But when you get there, I'm going to bind you up for a while. I'm going to close your mouth for a while. Until you get to the end of yourself, then I will give you a word. See what he's doing? Now, this is a hard word for any preacher, for any parent, for any believer. This is a hard word. I don't really like this sermon, by the way. It's a hard word. Because if we're honest, see, we all want to speak and be heard, don't we? We all want to be understood. Everybody wants to be understood. Everybody wants to speak and be heard. We want our influence to be welcomed and appreciated. You want it to make you feel good, like you've done something. I've done something for the Lord. I've changed a life. Hallelujah. We all want that. But God tells Ezekiel, you're going to speak when I say speak, and you're going to be quiet when I say be quiet. And either way, they are not going to listen to you. Imagine. Now, this wasn't punishment for Ezekiel. It was preparation for Ezekiel. And it's preparation for all of us. Because God is teaching Ezekiel, it's not about the applause. It's not about drawing a crowd. It's not about your popularity, son of man, human being. It's about your obedience to me. Now, you've probably been there. You've spoken in love, maybe about sin, maybe about compromise. It's good. And it wasn't received. You ever been there? You've spoken up. You've said something. Wasn't received. You were dismissed. Maybe you were labeled. Maybe you were mocked. Maybe you were ignored. Now you hesitate. I don't like that feeling now. That's a wound. Not going to step on that nail again. Right? I want you to think of it like this. When a smoke alarm goes off, what's the first thing most of us do? When an alarm goes off in your house, what's the first thing you try to do? What? You check the battery. You try to shut that thing up. First thing you do is you start whatever. We don't necessarily ask where's the smoke, because you don't see it right away sometimes. We ask where's the reset button? Where's the battery? The battery's going dead. Must be. We wave a towel. We'll get the towel. We'll wait. Whatever. We hit the button. We stop the noise. That's what people will try to do with your voice. They're going to try to stop that noise. When you sound the alarm, that's human nature. I need to stop this noise. When you start warning, when you start speaking the word with clarity and conviction, they'll try to silence you and reset. That's human nature. But here's the question. Is the alarm broken or is it just doing its job? It's doing its job. Some of us have been silenced not because we were wrong, but because we were right. And we were speaking the truth, but the room couldn't handle the alarm, and now we hesitate to speak again. You ever been there? Yeah. But the word of the Lord is clear in verse 27. When I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you will say to them, thus says the Lord God, who hears, let him hear, and who refuses, let him refuse. Now, here's the practical how-to with this. How to stay faithful when criticized, because it's hard. How to stay faithful. Discern the difference between God's silence and people's shutdown. You have to discern the difference between God's silence, when he says not to speak, and people's shutdown. The second thing is we have to obey the timing of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we can't rush it, can't delay it. So obey the timing of the Holy Spirit. Here's the third and the most telling thing. This is the accountability thing. Don't speak to be heard. Speak because you've heard from the Lord. In other words, when the Lord say and speak, he's going to press on the gas on that with you in relentless ways sometimes. Now, you don't need to be loud. I don't think Ezekiel was a loud man. I don't think he was a boisterous man at all. God doesn't need us to be. God doesn't need us to get on the soapbox in the town square and shout about everything that's wrong with culture. That's not what this world needs. that's what Christians do. And where does it get us? How effective is that? Never has been, never will be, but that's our proclivity. That's what we do. We get a burr under our saddle and we react to the culture, and so we just spew things, and it might be true, but it's not in love, so it doesn't carry the weight of God. And when it doesn't carry the weight of God, it's not going to make a change. You understand what I'm saying? It's important that you do. You don't need to be loud, you need to be Spirit-led. There will be moments when God says, not yet. Don't say anything. Wait. There'll be moments when you'll want to, and it ain't time. And that's not rejection of you, that's refinement of you. And then there's the moments when he says, open your mouth, son, daughter, open your mouth. I've given you a word. Now's the time. Now's the time. You're the watchman. Now's the time. Either way, don't flinch. Either way, don't flinch. Don't hesitate. So I want to ask you this, and this is closing. Where have you been silenced by criticism? Where have you been silenced by criticism? And what assignment have you backed away from because it wasn't received well? And the third question here is, have you confused rejection by people with restriction by God? Have you confused rejection by people as restriction by God? Now, I'm guilty. Lord, the people aren't responding. The people aren't coming. You must be. Not necessarily. God says, when I give you a voice, when it's time for you to speak, I'll give you what you're to say. I'll give you your voice. But until then, you stay faithful. And then when I give you your voice, then you be faithful with that. See, we're believers when we have an assignment and we have a post. You see the progression there? I'm a believer with an assignment as a pastor. My post, though, is to be a watchman for a specific thing as a pastor. I can't be the pastor of all things to all people. I can't have all the burdens, right? I'm not a watchman for all the issues, okay? So your pastor, a pastor can't speak out of a burden for everything, okay? My burden is to see people set free from the bondage of their sin. That is my wall, okay? So, but I can be faithful in my pastorship and preaching the truth of the Word of God in my assignment over what the Word says. But it's not until God gives me a word for my post and gives me a voice there will it become effective. Yes? Okay. The same thing is true for whatever your assignment and whatever your post is. And no one is exempt from that. You might have your assignment down, but the post, where are you on your post? Where are you there? That's the invitation.